Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
As a cardiologist and a chef, Dr. Michael Fenster has combined his culinary talents with cutting-edge medical expertise and insight. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are. And I know you know that means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Real Salt. Hey, Nation, if you are as passionate about using real, authentic, wholesome ingredients as I am, you got to make sure that that applies to your spices and seasonings as well. Real Salt comes from an evaporated ancient sea, an ocean from a time when the world was much more innocent and, more importantly, much more pure than it is today. No fillers, no contaminants in this stuff. You want to ask your grocer for some Real Salt, or even better yet, head over to realsalt.com, type in Dr. Mike, and get yourself an extra discount courtesy of us. And talking about the real deal, it is time once again. I'm so excited. I love this segment. Culinary CPR with my kitchen compatriot, Chef Luca Paris. He's the executive chef and owner of Luca's Mediterranean Cafe, also the market at Luca's located in Keene, New Hampshire. I just don't have enough time to go over how many awards and accolades this guy's won, but he's gotten excellence in dining, best service waitstaff, best restaurateur of the year. You may know him from Food Network, where he crushed the competition on Guy's Grocery Games, one of my favorite episodes. Chef, welcome to the program. Thanks for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Hey, buddy. It's good to talk to you. Things are going well. Life is good. And one of my favorite parts of the week is getting on the air with you and talking about some food. So good.
What do you got for us today, man? My taste buds. I'm drooling over here. You always bring something great.
We've talked about wanting to do simpler stuff. And let's talk a little bit about soup. But one of the best.
No soup for you. 1 year.
One of the best. I want to say one of the best ingredients for a soup, and for a million other things too. And it's perfect when fall hits. One of the things I go right to, maybe because I'm in New England, maybe because, you know, squash is everywhere, but the butternut squash. I mean, I can't think of when they tell you, like, sweet potato is one of these great all-purpose vegetables that are great for everything. I go to a butternut squash. I could roast it. I could mash it. I could make a soup out of it. There are a million things that we could come from it. And I am such a big fan. So we're going to talk about butternut squash soup today and how healthy that is for you. And it's in season. It's that winter squash. It's been around forever. It's one of the three sisters, so to speak, of the ancient Native Americans, maize or corn, beans, and squash. This is the time of the year they lived off of that stuff. So let's talk butternut squash today.
Absolutely. One of my favorites. And, you know, you and I often talk about, you know, eating seasonally, shopping seasonally, cooking seasonally. In terms of the great ingredients we get, and certainly the fall, winter, as you point out, the butternut squash, the three sisters, one of the forthcoming chapters of the Ancient Eat series, of which folks can pick up my latest book, Volume 1, The Greeks and the Vikings. We talk about the Mayans, and one of the originators of that Three Sisters was actually probably in Central America, probably around 8,000 to 10,000 years ago. And then as tribes migrated, it sort of worked its way up, particularly, as you point out, in the New England area, where, you know, it's very associated with the Native Americans there. But, you know, what's very interesting, you know, you and I very often approach this from a chef perspective because, you know, it's economical because when it's in season, there's a bounty that drives the price down.
Right.
It's delicious because it's in season and it's fresh.
Exactly.
But what's very interesting, there's a lot of science now coming out behind the fact that we have a rhythm that varies not only with the day, but also varies literally with the years and the seasons, and things like the types of microbes we have in our gut microbiome will vary with the season because we're built to eat different things. You know, I think a lot of times people think something like butternut squash soup is, the comfort foods, and, well, you know, it's getting cold, and so we just kind of want these warm, heavy, satisfying meals. But it turns out that when we look particularly more at wild animals like deer, for example, what we find is that there's great variations in what they're built to eat with the seasons. And so there's a science, I guess what I'm saying, there's a science and a very potent health benefit to eating these types of foods in the right year, in the right time of year. And you take it to a new level when you make it extra delicious for us. So kind of walk us through how we're going to prepare this butternut squash.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that. If people have ever, before we get to the recipe, and it's something I noticed a long time ago, I had a guest on my show about 12 years ago say this to me. He said, you ever look at just look at vegetables. We won't talk about meats, but just look at vegetables. Look at the winter vegetables. They're all hearty. They're rich. They're the things you need to keep you warm, the things you associate with wanting to stay, that comfort level, right, the comfort food thing. So whether it's squashes or pumpkins, or any of these root cellar vegetables, all those type of things. Look at what it does. And then you look in the summertime and you have these fruits. You have the grapes and you have light fruits and you have things in season that come out then, strawberries, blueberries. It's because you don't need to be that warmth in you and your body doesn't need it. It's incredible if we just followed that path. Now, we don't do that because we have everything available to us. You could get grapes in the middle of winter. You're going to get strawberries in the middle of winter. Now, is that the best way to eat? Probably not. We have them, so we utilize them. But if you could eat seasonally, you will see a major difference in how your body reacts to it. And you crave it in that season. That's why we have those cravings. So let's get to the soup real quick. Butternut squash soup.
I think you just hit on something that's really important. And I think that's something we should really strive for is, now that we're seeing that there's some science behind it, there's benefits in terms of our immune system and helps us cultivate a healthier gut microbiome. I'm even more now pushing folks to really go seasonally with your food. I mean, just as you said, just because we can get them doesn't mean we should get them. And when you're getting, grapes in January in New England, they ain't local. And to keep them from being rotten in the store, they've got to be picked when they're unripe. So not only are you getting something that's out of whack with the natural rhythms of your body, but you're also getting something that, flavor-wise, nutritionally-wise, it's an inferior product. And, I think one of the great things, certainly I appreciate as a chef, and it may... You let me know what you think, because it may be more of a hassle when you've got to run a professional operation like you do. But I love the challenge of seeing, what nature's providing me, and how am I going to step up to the plate? Step up, literally, right. Step up to the plate and prepare something delicious with what nature's offered me.
Well, I think that's what we stress now at the restaurant, especially, is a seasonal menu. Like, you won't see asparagus on our menu at this time of the year, in the winter, or in the fall and the winter. You're going to see it when the spring comes, then I'll bring asparagus back on. You'll see, we have apples, we have potatoes, we have sweet potato, we have apple cider. I mean, we have all these other flavors. And then with the Mediterranean twist to it, of course, but we need to use, and still thinking, the Mediterranean concept is about eating seasonally. So no matter where you go in the world, you eat seasonally based on what you find in that area, and that's exactly what we try to do. I really believe that's a great way to do, just the concept of eating. And if we could showcase that every 4 months and tweak our menu to base it on that, I think it really shows the people, hey, you're eating fresh and seasonal, not just we can get asparagus now or we can get this bean now. And it really, it's a summer vegetable, but we're going to give it to you now. I've seen the difference. Just if we get a case of zucchini and squash in this time of the year, what you're going to find is that they're going to go bad faster because they've been sitting around forever. They had to travel thousands and thousands of miles to get here, and they're not even that good. The flavor's not there. There's nothing there. But when I get local zucchini and squash, when the season comes around, I'm loving every minute of it. I mean, one of those packed more flavor than a dozen of the ones that we buy in the store. So if you could eat locally, that's great. If you could eat seasonally, that's even better. And, depending on where you have access. And more, you have the opportunity and the access like you've never had before, or let's just say like our generation has never had before. The two generations prior to us, that's the way they ate. We got away from that. Right. Now we're getting back to it, and it's really exciting. I see that's the way my kids eat now. I see that's the way a lot of people are thinking now. And it's fun to be part of that and to join that little, you know, revival, I would say is the best way to put it.
Well, I love it. I'm with you. And I loved the way you phrased that, because I talk about in my new book, Ancient Eats, you know, we talk about the Greeks, an original Mediterranean diet, if you will. Folks who pick that up on Amazon.com. But what I found in researching the history of that is it really is a Mediterranean approach. And there was so much documentation. I mean, what blew me away is, you know, we think about, hey, you know, I'm going to get a fresh tuna. You know, I go down to the fish market, talk to my fishmonger, I get a fresh tuna. These guys were so in tune. They're like, okay, well, in the springtime, you want to get the tuna here. You know, you only want to get the bream this time of year in the month of May, because the other times it's just not good or could actually be detrimental for you. And it just blew me away. It's like, wow, you know, we've become so isolated and divorced ourselves with modern processed food, you know, and sacrificed so much on the altar of convenience, you know, the knowledge that these guys had with the seasonality and the detail. Just absolutely, absolutely fascinating. And I think it really is. People talk about, you know, the Mediterranean diet for health. I want to emphasize it's a Mediterranean approach. You know, so like you said, you don't have to, you know, eat, you know, pasta every single day, you know, to be involved in the Mediterranean diet. It doesn't just have to be olive oil. It's an approach. It's a thought process. You know, exactly. It's a way of solving your culinary challenge for the day. And everybody can cook and eat Mediterranean using a Mediterranean approach every single day, no matter where you are. Because as you said, you know, it's all about fresh. It's all about authentic. It's about being real. And it's about an amazing butternut squash soup with apple cider and creme fraiche.
We'll get to that eventually, right?
So, yeah, we do.
And this is a really exciting recipe, and I'm adding creme fraiche to it as opposed to just heavy cream. We'll talk about that a little bit when we get there. But I'll throw out the ingredients, and you could also you could get the printed version yourself too. But it's 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 2 tablespoons
of
olive oil.
I just want to talk about, just head over to chefdrmike.com, subscribe to the newsletter, and you'll get all these recipes. Will come out in the newsletter, you know, the day before the show airs, so they'll be coming to you in your inbox by Wednesday morning. Our website's undergoing a little upgrade right now, so, you know, give us a bit of time, but head on over, make sure that you sign up for this, and you'll get all these great recipes from Chef Luca.
And,
take it away.
And this is one you really want to get. I'm telling you, it's simple, it's delicious. And Mike, you know, because you follow me on Facebook as well. I got a big comment. This is why we're doing this. The other day, just on Facebook, someone said I had the most amazing butternut squash soup, and I was like, "Ooh, this is what we're going to talk about." And this is such a great soup, and I absolutely love it. So it's 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 2 tablespoons of olive oil. We're going to warm those up together so we don't burn the butter. 3 large onions chopped. 2 tablespoons of a mild curry powder. That's easy for you to say. this is where, like I always say, this is if you want to make any changes to my recipes, this is a good spot to make it. If you're not a big fan of curry powders, hey, feel free to add a little bit of coriander here, a little bit of cumin, whichever you like. If you want to, don't want to even do any cumin because curry is big with that. There's, you know, maybe you add a little bit of spice here, touch of cayenne, maybe a touch of a smoky paprika, one of those kind of things, if you want to go that way. But a teaspoon.
But I got to tell you, I love the curry powder here, and I've done, you know, some curried soups, and like you said, you can make it as mild or not, you know, in terms of the heat as you like. But if you haven't had it, I really recommend you give this a try, even if you're not like a huge curry fan of those flavor profiles. Give it a try, because there's something about this, don't you think, with the way it works with the butternut, and it picks up a little bit of the sweetness, and it'll give you maybe a whole new appreciation for that particular flavor profile. So unless you're allergic to it for some reason.
Yeah, I
really love the way you headed with this, with the curry powder. And from a health standpoint, the curry is going to have some turmeric in there, which is really, really good for you. So it's just going to amp up. I mean, it's going to turbocharge all the antioxidants and the benefit that you're getting from such a staple ingredient such as butternut squash.
Well, you know, the turmeric, the cumin, the coriander that's already in there, and maybe some chili peppers, depending on how hot they are. And then you get other ingredients, depending on the type of curry powder you use. Now, some people can make their own. You could go away. You could try and make your own. There's so many different ingredients you could add, or you could buy a simple one. I agree with you. I love the idea of just all those blends of spices coming together in there. I add, there are some curries that have cinnamon in it, but I like to up the cinnamon ante. So to speak, with this recipe. But just go with a mild curry powder. Actually, and we'll take it aside, think of cauliflower. Just toss some curry powder on cauliflower, oil, throw it in the oven, roast it for about 20 minutes until they start getting soft, and you have the best curry cauliflower. And that's the beginning to another soup, but well, that's another show. I go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was with you, because I was, as soon as we were talking about it, I was thinking, man, you know, there's a killer creamy cauliflower curry soup, you know, that I've done. And, you know, as you said, we're getting off on a tangent, but by breaking off the florets and the stems and cooking them separately, you can then use the, you can then essentially get a cream without having to actually add any creme fraiche or cream to it. And it's because cauliflower is unique in vegetables in that it tends to be very low. There are two types of fiber. We often think about fiber as, you know, tough stems and bulks things up. But there's two types of fiber, insoluble and soluble. And the soluble fiber kind of acts like oatmeal does. So it gets kind of gooey and acts as a thickening agent, whereas the insoluble fiber is what we tend to think about in terms of, you know, stems and digestion and kind of pushing things through and moving the bowels. And cauliflower is very unique because it's very low in insoluble fiber, and that's why it actually can make a unique creamy thickening agent. And yeah, we'll have to do that for another show, but you got me off on a tangent now.
Yeah, I know. And only you could throw in that stuff about bowels into a cooking show, man. Only you, brother. So,
and not have us totally gross out.
I know. It worked perfectly. So we had the curry powder, the cinnamon. We talked about onions and olive oil and butter, so it's basic. I like to get in a quarter cup of local maple syrup. Again, seasonal. You know, syrup, I mean, syrup's around all year, but from March on, you're going to have syrup that's just been harvested, and it's absolutely beautiful. You get two large butternut squash, in case people were thinking I didn't bring butternut squash into the mix. salt and pepper, 2 cups of creme fraiche, 2 cups of water, 2 cups of local apple cider or good apple cider. You could get something that way. Now, if you're someone that wants to make this soup without the cream, you admit the creme fraiche, add a little bit more water or cider, it'll still come out beautiful because there's going to be a creamy consistency to that butternut squash when we puree it. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So you're going to warm
I just want to mention something about the creme fraiche because, and folks can head over. I've got my column on Psychology Today. But if you head over there and read To Nog or Not to Nog. And I talk about basically dairy and the difference in terms of the data. A lot of people, and in fact, a lot of health organizations have guidelines where they say, you know, if you're going to eat dairy, you know, choose the low fat version, stay away from things like creme fraiche and sour cream, et cetera. And the data isn't there for that. And I go through the different studies, and one of the major publications that did what we call a meta-analysis, where it just took all the studies that were done out there and looked at it and said, okay, let's look at low-fat dairy or no dairy approach versus full-fat dairy, and does it affect the LDL or bad cholesterol? Does it affect the HDL or good cholesterol? Does it increase inflammatory markers? Does it impair the vascular reactivity of the body? And the short answer to that, and I guess now you don't have to go over and read the article because I'm going to tell you what it says, but basically it said there's no difference between full fat, natural, as you and I were talking about, real dairy products, and these no fat, low fat dairy alternatives. And I'm going to take that a step further because a lot of either the processes or the additives to alter the natural fats found in dairy to make it a low fat or a no fat alternative, a lot of these are turning out to be detrimental, particularly to our gut microbiome. So if that's the reason you're staying away from the creme fraiche, is if you're truly lactose intolerant,
right,
and you've got to alternate it, sure. But if you're staying away from it because you think you're helping yourself in terms of the health benefits by avoiding the absolutely delicious richness, the succulent mouthfeel that real creme fraiche will deliver, You're not doing your taste buds any favor, and you're not doing your body any favor in terms of the health benefits. So from my perspective, if you like it, you could tolerate it, hey, listen to Chef and add the creme fraiche.
I think it's an important ingredient in what you're doing. Also, and I've stressed this a million times, and I might start sounding like a broken record to people listening, but I have wonderful dairy farms around here, and I could get creme fraiche fresh, and I'm telling you, there is a major difference. Now, for people who don't know what creme fraiche is or what a substitute is, I don't know if we touched on that. Think sour cream. It's a little less sour than that. It has a lower viscosity but a higher fat content. So it's a French term. It's a sour cream, and there are different versions of sour creams found in Europe, but we know creme fraiche as the one that sounds the best. So. And basically, it's a wonderful thing to use. I love it over strawberries, just by itself over strawberries, or just as a garnish in a soup. But let's get it back into our soup. We're going to add it in our soup as we go on. So the directions to making the soup: warm butter, olive, and the olive oil. And the reason why we have the oil and the butter together, so the butter smoke temp goes down a little bit, so it doesn't burn. You're warming those two up with the onions, the curry powder, cinnamon in a large stock pot, and about 15 or 20 minutes until the onions are really tender, because we're going to puree this whole thing. And the aroma of the curry powder, the cinnamon, is just explosive with the onions right there. Then you're going to make sure that's all done. In the meantime, you're going to peel the squash, cut it in half, remove the seeds, cut the squash into chunks. I always say the smaller the chunks, the less cooking time, just like anything else. You add the squash, salt, and pepper, 2 cups of water to the pot, and you're going to bring it to a quick boil, cover it, and then do low heat for about 30 or 40 minutes. That's what the squash is going to just break down into nothing, and they'll be ready to be processed. So then you're going to process it through a food mill or in a food processor, whichever you like better, and then you're going to pour that back into the soup pot. You're going to add the apple cider, the creme fraiche, and then make the soup the consistency you like. It should be sweet from the cider. You're going to cook that down. It'll probably be another 15 minutes of cooking time because you want to incorporate it all together. And then you should have a thickness to the soup. And then you check salt and pepper, and you should be fine. And that's how easy this is. Now, here's another tip I will always tell you to do with soups. Make them the day before.
Like chilies.
I really feel there's something about a soup, especially one that has cream in it, that if you make it the day before, you bring it up slowly to heat up the next day, you're going to have much more intense flavor, a better consistency. Now, if you find that it's too thick, you add a little more cider or water, depending if you want it sweeter or not, and you're going to love it the next day. And then top it with a little bit of pumpkin seeds, pepitas, roasted pumpkin seeds.
Butternut squash seeds.
Okay.
My version, and I love this version that we're doing, to keep in the seasonality of it, and what's kind of really attractive, because the soup is sort of that, orange tanny kind of color, is I put a little dab of the creme fraiche and then some fresh pomegranate seeds.
Oh, I love that. That's a great idea.
It gives it a real, you know, sort of visual pop.
Perfect.
And, you know, you and I have talked before, you know, about the food experience. And one of the things, you know, we found is that there's actually studies showing that, you know, when you sit down, you take your time, you look at this plate of food, and it's absolutely delicious, and you're thinking about eating it, it actually starts to activate the parasympathetic system, so your body gets in the mode to digest and digest much more efficiently. So, you know, there's a whole visual
really?
Thing.
Wait. It's such a... That's like the greatest thing in the world. I love that idea.
But it's true. It's true. You know, I kid you not that they've actually, you know, done some studies and looked at this and found that, you know, when people, you know, are just shoving, you know, a cinnamon roll the size of their head as they rush through the airport, you know, that's impacting the efficiency and the way digestion occurs. So
right.
When we go to Luca's Mediterranean Cafe and we're having this awesome, delicious butternut squash soup, and you put it in front of me and I say, man, this is just so beautiful. I just want to sit here and look at it for a minute. You know, I'm taking my picture, I'm posting it out, I'm bragging to everyone, you know, on the interweb about what I'm eating and where I'm eating it.
Right.
That's actually helping my digestion, my immune system, because they're tied so closely together. And there is science to back this. So, yeah.
Well,
so for
I am
sure.
Definitely, we're serving the soup tonight. I'm serving it with pomegranate tonight. I didn't even think about it.
Thanks, brother. A little homage to me. I am touched.
I love it.
You got to take a picture and send it to me.
We will do that. I'm gonna go up there and do it right after the show.
All right, folks. I hope you enjoyed this culinary CPR with the one, the only, the inimitable Chef Luca Paris. We talk about butternut squash soup with apple cider and a creme fraiche. I hope you enjoy it. Remember to eat seasonally, and remember. Until we meet again, may the only pain in your life be champagne.